Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Well, today we're continuing our conversations with the Massachusetts gubernatorial candidates. We've heard from Republican Charlie Baker, Democrat Deval Patrick, and Independent Tim Cahill. Now we turn to Green Rainbow Party candidate Jill Stein. She's a Lexington physician who garnered 3.4% of the vote in her 2002 bid for governor. Stein announced her 2010 Green Rainbow Party candidacy in early February, and she identified a lack of jobs, high health care costs, and government corruption as the primary issues she would tackle as governor.
I know that if we open up the doors on Beacon Hill and get the lobbyists out and the people back in, we're going to cut these problems down to size and start solving them.
Well, Jill Stein joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much, Magna. Good to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. And listeners, you can ask your question of Jill Stein. Just give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. Ms. Stein, if I just, or Dr. Stein, I should say.
Call me Jill.
If I can just start with the really basic question, what are your very specific priorities for your Green Rainbow Party candidacy in this governor's race?
We want to create jobs that cannot be offshored, outsourced, and downsized. We want secure jobs that bring wealth into the community, that use the multiplier factor because they're local, the money stays here, passes from hand to hand. Every dollar counts for more. We want to create not only jobs, but especially green jobs, because there it's a win-win. You're not only improving the economy, you're also reducing energy costs, improving our security, and improving our health. So jobs is one piece. Affordable health care is another. There's enormous savings that we can garner by moving to an efficient system that cuts the bureaucracy and also restores choice and autonomy to people and to their providers. We'd also like to strengthen our public schools, and we want tax relief for the working and low-income families who've been paying actually about twice as much as a portion of their income as millionaires. Mm-hmm. So not fair. Burden is falling on the low-income people.
And I understand that on the tax concept, you also want to eliminate tax benefits for corporations in Massachusetts? Is that right?
Well, put it this way. We want to be sure that the taxpayers are getting their money's worth. So when we are providing a tax break, we need to see a return on jobs. And what's very clear in looking at the budget is that we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars every year on essentially deals that got made that were broken. So, for example, the Raytheon and Fidelity tax cuts, which cost us $300 million every year that we could be using for their schools, for the libraries, for higher education that so many kids can't afford now. Instead of having the money to go for that, we're spending $300 million, which is just going out and not returning those jobs that were really part of the exchange, but that deal got broken. So we want to review these deals and make sure that the taxpayer is getting their money's worth. And we think that there's probably somewhere between a half a billion and $1 billion which taxpayers can recoup mm-hmm. there.
That actually differentiates you from your opponents, most of which who have told us here on Radio Boston that they're proud of increasing tax benefits or reducing the tax burden, let's say, on corporations in Massachusetts, and they plan to do more of that. But let me ask you, Jill, so I also want to just get briefly to your candidacy this year in this political climate that we have in Massachusetts.
Yes.
Do you feel like it's different, that you may have more of a chance, let's say, because of the unrest that people feel regarding the current or the typical slate of candidates?
Exactly, which is why I felt really compelled to enter the race when I heard that Tim Cahill was going to enter and that there would be a three-way race among essentially CEOs who come to government with a background as CEOs in business, insiders and incumbents, and there's a good deal of concern on all those issues these days where people feel like they're really getting a raw deal from business as usual. And not only do they sort of represent the same background, but they have very similar positions. They all support casinos as the way to revive our economy, which we strongly do not agree with and think that the record does not support. None of them support a single-payer public option system for health care, which there's enormous support for out there. And health care reform, you know, has been a step in the right direction, but it's not affordable. And, you know, and people are still, you know, really struggling to meet their health care payments. They have their insurance paper, but they don't really have the care that they need.
Well, let me ask you, these are all issues that are very alive in voters' minds,
exactly.
Without a doubt. So, and especially in an age where the electorate has already shown that it's willing to go with maybe the unexpected candidate,
yes,
in the form of Senator Scott Brown, why is it that you think the Green Rainbow Party has not been able to garner more support thus far?
Well, you know, that is a very interesting question, and I think you need look no further. Well, let me say there are two things. For one thing, we don't accept lobbyist money, and we don't accept money from the corporations that hire lobbyists. In other words, we stand apart from the pay-to-play politics.
In fact, you only have some $25,000 in your campaign fund right now. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. But, you know, I don't have a problem with that because we're a people-powered campaign. We have volunteers. We're working through social media and the internet, which is how a lot of campaigns come out of left field completely these days. So, you know, I regard that as a badge of strength that I'm not coming into this race with debts to repay. And, you know, to our mind, that's kind of the central problem with politics as usual, that it's the pay-to-play culture on Beacon Hill. You don't see the other candidates coming out and saying, you know, that they are going to push back, that they're going to move forward campaign finance reform, publicly funded elections, controls over lobbying and campaign contributions. You know, we've only seen the power of big money in politics get bigger, especially with the recent Supreme Court decision. So, you know, we think there's enormous support out there for the kind of clean politics of integrity that we're bringing to the table.
You're referencing the Citizens United,
yes,
case that the Supreme Court judged on, which allows corporations to donate or pay for political ads across the nation now.
Exactly.
That's how the Supreme Court ruled. Let's go to the voters of Massachusetts. Lee's calling from Uxbridge. Welcome to Radio Boston, Lee.
Hi, thank you. I was calling just because I had a question for Jill about the green jobs. I know she's highly focused on bringing more green jobs into the area. And I'm wondering, what types of green jobs, how you would plan on attracting those types of jobs, and also if local organic agricultural small businesses would be included.
Lee, thanks so much for your call. Jill Stein.
Great question, Lee. And yes, we are completely on the same page here. We want to build on what's working. And the local sustainable food sector is one of those areas that really is working. It's growing like gangbusters. So, for instance, Deval Patrick wants to give about $200 million to expand shopping malls and office parks and so on. And we think that those kinds of investments should be going into the green economy, into jobs that are really here for the long haul, because that money instead could be used for essentially interest-free loans, both to the small businesses as well as to the consumers. So we can prime the pump from both ends for both clean energy jobs, for the home retrofits, the weatherizations, the efficiencies, and so on, solar energy. We can jumpstart the green energy jobs, also the food jobs, as you're pointing to, recycling, manufacturing, and so on. There's just a whole wealth of small businesses and green jobs that can provide a win-win for our health, for our economy, and for the environment.
Jill Stein, we've just got a minute here left with you, so I'm going to throw a big question here, but at the last second, you know, last time you ran, you got over 3% of the vote, so it might not sound like a lot, but in a race that could end up being quite close, there's a thought that you know, 3%, 4%, 5% will matter. So you could potentially become a spoiler in this race and maybe, let's say, harm Deval Patrick's chances for re-election and help put Charlie Baker into office, for example. If something like that ends up happening and you do have an impact on the race, will you have set out to do what your overall goal is in being the Green Rainbow Party candidate?
I think that we are not headed in the right direction, and we don't want to keep doing that for 4 more years. I think it's really important that we establish a politics of integrity and we build. And I think all bets are off, because once we're into the debates and the public begins to hear what we're talking about, who knows what direction it will go.
That's Jill Stein. She is the gubernatorial candidate for the Green Rainbow Party. Thank you so much for being with us on Radio Boston.
Thank you so much, Edna.
Up next...
Every damn weekend, the same drama. Right under my window. How many nights do these people need to party?
And speaking of drama, our Arts Roundtable explores this weekend's groundbreaking theater collaboration. We'll continue the conversation after a break. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.